That's why we celebrate this. That's why we celebrate His coming. Because He came with a purpose and a reason, not to bring social justice, not to heal, not to feed the poor, although all those things magnified His ministry. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He saved me and most of you in this auditorium. He saved you one day. Jesus paid it all. We owe everything to Him. I'm going to have you turn to the book of John chapter 1. And while you're turning, just want to encourage you to be back this evening. Not really this evening, 4 o'clock this afternoon. And we're going to have a children's program and just going to be singing Christmas carols and a very, very, very short challenge from the Word of God. And then we're going to have a fellowship afterwards. And so if you did not sign up, that's okay. You just come. And we want you here tonight or this afternoon at 4 o'clock for a special Christmas service. And trust that you'll be able to be here for that. I want to remind you to pray for Alethea Wilt. She is now at Sloan Kettering there in New York City. This is the daughter of David and Elizabeth Wilt, our missionaries there in Staten Island. She does have leukemia. She's already begun her regimen of chemotherapy. And just pray for Alethea. She's 7 years of age. Joyce Bavay, many of you know Joyce. She is now hospitalized and just needs a lot of prayers. So remember Joyce. And we praise the Lord for the birth of little Isla. Isla Sinclair, born to Justin and Jessica this week. Mom and baby are doing well. So just pray for them. And a lot of folks are going to be traveling. I had some folks tell me just before this service they'll be gone the next couple weeks. So pray for folks as they travel that God will give them a safety and just a blessed time with family. And that we'll all be brought back together in God's good timing. This week, just normal schedule, we do meet on Wednesday nights. There's no Awana, no teen ministry. But we will meet on Wednesday night here at 4. I've been going through a series called Standing on the Promises and been looking at different promises that God has given to us. And it's been good for me. I've personally enjoyed it. So I guess if I enjoy it, you might enjoy it. But I trust you'll be here. Don't stay out of church Wednesday. Come and just be here at 7 o'clock. And then we'll meet next Sunday morning at 9:30. And we'll just have the one service next Sunday, the Sunday right after Christmas Day, just Sunday morning at 9:30. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and we'll get right into God's word today. Father, I thank you for everyone who is here. Father, we thank you for keeping people safe on the roads. I don't know if what happened this morning was necessarily expected, but we thank you, Lord, for bringing folks here safely. And some who are already away, we ask for their safety. And for those who will be traveling this week, just ask, Lord, that you would watch over them and keep them safe. Lord, throughout this next 2 weeks, these somewhat festive times, that we would honor you in it and please you and do the things that are right and pleasing in your eyes. Lord, we just take a moment to lift up Alethea to you, that you would do a miracle work in this little girl's body, that you keep her parents faithful to you. And as David is preaching today, Lord, I'm sure his heart is there in that hospital with his daughter. I pray you just give him strength and wisdom. Fill him with the power of your Holy Spirit. And use him in a special way. Just magnify your name through their lives. And Lord, you are allowing this in their lives for a very special reason. And I pray, God, it would be for your good and for their good as well. Lord, we think of Joyce Bavay today and all the struggles that she's been going through, that you'd minister to her and just help her today. And we ask now that as we look into your word, that you would instruct us and teach us this that we traditionally call Christmas Sunday, that we would honor you through your word, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Long before there was a Bethlehem, there was a beginning. And you see that here in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, you hear these words. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And in the beginning already existed the Word. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3, the Word, Jesus Christ, is described this way: without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. Not only did Jesus, the Word, already exist, but all things were made by Him. Notice here in John chapter 1, verse 3, all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. That is reaffirmed in Colossians chapter 1 and reaffirmed in Hebrews chapter 1 that Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." That's an interesting word, the word consist. What does it mean? It means basically that all things are held together by Jesus Christ. In the beginning, this one who is eternal created the heavens and the earth. The Word spoke the universe into existence. The Word spoke mankind into existence. And since that moment of creation, His work has not ceased. Every second of every minute of every hour of every day for these 6,000 years, He has held the world and you and me together. The Creator, the Word, our Lord Jesus Christ made all things, He says, visible and invisible. And all, again, that was created today consists because of Him. One of those invisible things is the atom, A-T-O-M, the atom. Now, maybe you remember junior high, as we used to call it, middle school science, you know, earth science, you know, the basics of science, and all of us have learned about the atom. It's not detectable by the naked eye. You cannot see an atom. And within the atom are subatomic particles. You know this, you've heard this. The proton, the neutron, the electron. The atom, someone referred to it in this way, quote, "The building block for all matter in the universe is the atom." The building block for all matter in the universe. When you look out, and we've taken some trips, men have gone camping up at, what's that place we go to, guys? Yeah, not Spruce Knob, but the... Yeah, and when we go up there, you know, there is no residual light, so you just see the heavens. And we've gone up there twice and just seen it on clear nights. And I'm asking, I remember asking Seth Davis, "What is that?" He says, that's like the Milky Way or whatever. And it's like, I didn't realize you could see that kind of thing. I just never, you know, with all the lights that are normally around, it's just amazing. But every star you see, every planet you can detect, is all made up of atoms. This wooden pulpit is made up of atoms. That lamp is made up of atoms. Your body is made up of atoms. And the average adult human body is 7 octillion atoms. That's a 7 with 27 zeros afterwards. Now, we hear the word trillion, you know, bandied about a lot lately because of the massive spending that our government does. And we know we've seen the pictures of the stack of bills all the way to the moon and back and all this kind of stuff. That's trillions. That's a 7 followed by 12 zeros. 7 octillion is 7 followed by 27 zeros. Your body has 7 octillion atoms in it. Inside that atom, there is what we would call in layman's terms a spin. That's not, I guess, technically correct, but it's referred to that to help understanding. And there's, a positive charge only in the atom, and there's a magnetic force within the atom. That magnetic force keeps each atom connected to the other. Now think about this. What would happen if by Him all things no longer consisted? What if Jesus Christ just took His hand off of everything? Then our bodies would not remain intact. This pulpit would not remain intact. The moon and the stars and the sun would not remain intact. At this very moment, while we sit here, we never think about this, but this is the reality of Scripture. By him all things consist. It's a present tense. It's a continual thing. We consist. Every lost person, every Christian, your pet dog, your nasty cat, you know, they are all held together because all things consist by him. Notice verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 4 tells us that the Word, the Creator, our Lord Jesus Christ, in him is life. He says, and the life was the light of men. Have you ever heard someone refer to another person's death as having their light extinguished? Their light extinguished? God gave us life. Isaiah chapter 42 verse 5 puts it this way. He that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. There is a light in every human being. It's called the spark of life. Every saved, every lost person has this life that was given to them of God. He that giveth breath unto the people upon it, upon the earth, and spirit to them that walk therein. Every person has the capacity to know God because they have a spirit. When Adam fell into sin and the earth was cursed, man was cursed, and the spirit died. But the capacity is still there. 45 years ago, this past October, God revived my spirit. God gave me not just the capacity to know him and to be his son, but it became so. You remember the day? You remember that place, that time when you had your spirit revived? When Jesus Christ came in and saved you? He is the light of life. He again tells us there in verse 4 that he is the life that is the light of men. John 5:26 puts it this way. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Jesus is life. Jesus is eternal life. And notice verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That moment when Adam sinned and plunged our race into death, spiritual death. The plan was already in place from eternity past. Before the foundations of the world, the Bible tells us that Jesus would come and be born. That he would humble himself and take on flesh and dwell among us. He would come with a purpose of doing exactly what verse 5 tells us, that his light would come and shine in our darkness. But there is a problem, verse 5, and the darkness comprehended it not. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 9:2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. But the darkness comprehended it not. I'm going to say this to you. I don't want you to understand this. Darkness can never comprehend light. Darkness can never comprehend light. However, here's the good news. Light can overcome darkness. When I was lost, I did not comprehend light, nor did you. But Jesus overcame. He overcame, poured his light into me, and overcame the darkness. And because of that darkness, something I could never comprehend, he gave me understanding. Think of 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. And the moment he did that, he brought salvation. He changed our lives. He made us children of light. In the midst of John chapter 1, speaking about Christ, through verse 14. It's all about Him as Creator, as the Word, as the Lord, as the Light. He injects in the next three verses about another man, about the one we call John the Baptist. So the Apostle John inserts, through the Holy Spirit's leading, words about John the Baptist. John, I'm going to say this, is one of those, I'm going to put it this way, the characters of Christmas. Now, that's probably not an appropriate word, but it kind of makes sense when I, you know, you look down here at the figurines in front of me on the communion table, and you have people we understand that are connected with the Christmas story. We have, of course, Jesus as an infant. We have Mary and Joseph. We have the shepherds. And yes, two years later, the wise men come and worship Jesus Christ. We see all those things, the angels who sang and proclaimed His birth. All those are what we might call the characters of Christmas. But this is a character of Christmas that is never really mentioned. And how appropriate, because John made this statement. He said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." I think it's appropriate that inserted into the introduction of Jesus is the mention of His cousin, John the Baptist, just 6 months older than his cousin Jesus. Notice these words in verse 6. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light." Now notice the word light is capitalized. This is a proper title or name for Jesus Christ. "That all men through Him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." Jesus Christ came, but not before His cousin came. And the account of the announcement by Gabriel to Mary about the coming birth of the Messiah is found in Luke chapter 1. And I mention this, and just read to you what Gabriel said to Mary. "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call His name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto Him the throne of His father David, and He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of His kingdom there shall be no end." Man, you talk about overwhelming a teenage girl. What an announcement. I'm grateful that He's still in control. He is still King. And He reigns, and His reign will be forever and ever. But before the announcement of Jesus' birth in Luke chapter 1, months earlier, that same angel Gabriel announced to Mary's cousin, her cousins Zacharias and Elizabeth, the conception of John the Baptist. And here's what Gabriel said. "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And he shall go before him," before Jesus, "in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." In a sense, we could say John is the unspoken man of the Christmas story. He was sent to bear witness of the light, Jesus Christ. And he did his job well. And when he had risen to very great height and popularity, he willingly began to fade into the background until he died in a prison cell. John loved Jesus Christ. He said, "I'm not worthy to unloose the latchet on his shoes." John basically said, "I'm nothing. He is everything." John's purpose in life was to be a witness, to bear witness of the light. I think it's important for us to understand you and I are to be like John. We are to decrease while he increases in our life. Our selfish, and I say that about myself, motives and intentions, the things I want for my life are to decrease, and he is to increase. It's really not about me, it's about him. And oh, how I'd loved to have learned this when I was JJ's age. I wish I would have learned to give up self-gratification, self-everything, decrease, so that he could have his proper place and increase, and that every motive of my life is nothing but Jesus Christ. That's the way John was. And in the midst of that, he constantly, throughout his ministry, bore witness of the light, Jesus Christ. And he was glad to fade into the background. He didn't have to be the center of attention because he fulfilled his purpose. How important it is for you and me to hear that, and how important it is for you and me to understand this. Our purpose is to bring God glory. And one of the chief ways of bringing God glory is to be a witness. To tell people. To verbally speak to other people. People we know and people we don't know. About the glorious name of Jesus Christ and how he can save them, change your life. I just find that fantastic that he stuck that in between this account of the Word, the Creator, the light, that he mentions John, and then goes immediately back to the Lord Jesus in verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. It wasn't John, and it's not whoever famous preacher you can think of or evangelist that you so admire. Those men are not the focus here. It's always on Jesus Christ. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The true light of Jesus Christ was extended to light every man that has come into this world. And that is a true statement. The light of Jesus Christ has lighted, again, notice the words carefully, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I know there is this constant questioning, especially when you're younger. Well, what about those who have never heard the truth in the Amazon? What about the pygmy tribes in New Guinea? What about those tribes on the African continent that still not many white men or whatever have you know been able to get to and give them the Christian message? Understand this. God said, no worry. Verse 9 again. Which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I want you to think about this. Did Adam have the truth? Tell me, did Adam have the truth? What was his responsibility to do with the truth? It was his responsibility to tell Cain and to tell Abel and to tell Seth. God tells his people, Israel, you're to speak about these things when you walk in the way and when you sit in your house. Everywhere you go, you are to tell your children about me. Use every advantage. When you're out fishing, hey, you know what? The Bible says Jesus is the fisher of men. Christmas tree, oh, hey, it points to heaven. It shows the light of Christ. Every opportunity you have to share Christ, it's not just sticking them in a Sunday school class. It's not just sending them to Awanas. It's your life teaching them, introducing them. So the world is wiped out with a worldwide flood. And there are Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and their wives. And what did all of them know? They all knew the truth. And what was their responsibility? To share with those who came forth from them the glorious truth. It's not, if we believe that men are without the truth, it is not God's fault that they are without truth. The heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Look carefully at Romans chapter 1. Men do know about God. They may try to deny it. They may try to hide it. And they may harden themselves to it. But this statement you must choose to believe. Which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. But here's the problem. Verse 10. He was in the world. And the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. Here is the Creator, the one, the Word who spoke the world into existence, the one who came to give his light. And he came to the world. and the world knew him not. Verse 11, he came unto his own, talking about the Jewish people. Remember, Jesus was a Jew. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, even though they were the possessors of the oracles of God. Even though they knew the truths of the prophets like Isaiah and Malachi and Micah, they would not receive him. He plainly stated on several occasions exactly who he was, and they still rejected him. Notice verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. To those who do receive him are given power to become the sons of God. By the way, the same power that created the world, that same power is given to you and me to become the sons of God. He spoke, the Word spoke the world into existence. And the Word spoke to our hearts the glorious message of salvation. Think about Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and verse 10 as well. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. Now listen to this. Created in Christ Jesus. You and I who are born again have been created in Christ Jesus. How? By the Word. We're saved with the precious seed of the Word of God, Peter said. We are saved through the Word, the seed of the Word of God that spoke to our heart, the written Word given by the living Word who gave the spoken Word. And we're created the moment we get saved. That same power that put the universe into place, the same power that makes all things consist, is the same power that saved you the moment you called upon him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? It's that simple. It's that simple. What tremendous words, and it's our verse of the week, if you want to put it that way, verse 14. In fact, would you do this? We always say it together, our verse of the week, every Sunday morning. Let's just say this together, verse 14. Let's begin. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word that spoke the universe into existence, the Word that by his power spoke life into you the moment you received him, became flesh. That is beyond comprehension. I mean, I theologically understand it, and I believe it. I don't understand it. I don't know that we'll ever fully understand how God can become flesh. And yet the Bible tells us plainly that he did. He was all of God. In him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The fullness of the Godhead was in that infant laying in a manger in the middle of a stable. That's so hard to comprehend, and yet it is true. The Word became flesh, and then he chose to dwell among us. You know, I like coming to church. I mean this. I've always loved being in church. I like being around Christians. I really don't care to be around people in the world. Now, I do, and I go out, and I tell people about Jesus, and I've developed friendships with people who are unsaved, but this is my crowd. I like this. I like being around those who are saved because we have the same spirit. We have the same spirit. But before God revived my spirit, before he saved me, I wasn't much to be around, nor were you. And I'm sure it was the same with the generation in which Jesus was born, but he chose to dwell among men. With all of our faults, with all of our idiosyncrasies, with all of our strange philosophies, with all of our opinions, and we all have opinions, he chose to dwell among us. That's an amazing thought. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the Word, the glory of the Creator, the glory of the light, the glory of the one who humbled himself and became flesh. And we're told that he was full of grace and truth. And we understand the word grace means God's really abundant favor. You understand this, God favors you. And in many ways, before you were ever saved, God favored you. That's why he poured out his favor on you, because he favored you. But he not only poured out his grace, he poured out his truth. So that by grace we get something we don't deserve. We become part of his family. We're given a new name. We have a mansion prepared for us in heaven. His grace is poured out, but he also poured out truth. And what does that mean? Well, I think in part, Jesus, who is the truth, says, I'm going to tell you why I came, because you're lost and you're bound for an eternal hell. And if you don't receive me, you'll spend an eternity separated in a devil's hell. You're not my child. You're a child of the devil, John 8:44. Ephesians chapter 2, the first four verses. You're not, he said, children of my Father. You're children of the devil, children of disobedience. I'm just going to tell you the truth, is what Jesus came to tell men. And not everybody liked it. That's why they crucified him. But those who are willing to step back and say, you know what, I think he's right. I accept what he says. And so I choose to believe on him. You know what? When you get saved, you realize, wow, I was a mess before I got saved. Yes, I was lost and undone and condemned before I got saved. But Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. You know what? When he saved you, he washed it white as snow. He is full of grace and truth. His favor, his grace, does not negate his truth, but the truth will not stop his grace from flowing to you and me. Again, for by grace are you saved through faith. We need him. We need a Savior. We don't need a baby in a manger. We need the one who was proclaimed, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, what? A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We need him. We need his forgiveness. We need his work in our life. Praise the Lord for his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads with me? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, do you know him? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? It's good to understand he's the Word. He's the Creator. He's the Light. He's even the one who humbled himself and took on flesh. But he came with a purpose to seek and to save those that are lost. Do you know him personally? And if not, this morning, right where you're seated, you could cry out to him. You could cry out to him and say, Lord Jesus, I believe you came to earth. I believe you were born. I believe you lived for 33 and a half years and then you went to a Roman cross outside the city walls of Jerusalem and you were crucified. But you weren't crucified because you were forced. You said you laid down your life, a ransom for many. I lay my life down. No man takes it from me. You purposely laid down your life so that I could be forgiven. And right now, from your heart, you could cry out to him and say, Jesus, I ask you to come into my life and be my Savior. I choose to give my sin to you and ask your forgiveness and trust your shed blood to cleanse me. And you know what? If you do that right now, he'll save you. Whosoever cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I realize most, if not maybe everyone in this room today, already know Jesus as your Savior. Oh, what a wonderful Savior we have. Well, let's just rejoice in it all week long. Through all the family gatherings and gathering with friends and all the festivities, let's not lose sight of Jesus Christ, Let's stand with our heads bowed and just going to have a verse or two of our invitation hymn played. If you'd like to come use the altar this morning, you certainly can. The altar is open to you.